Hey everyone, are you ready for another deep dive? Today we're tackling how Jesus is portrayed in the New Testament, and specifically in a lecture by Dr. David L. Mathewson, who goes way beyond seeing Jesus as just a great teacher and really digs into how he's connected to God's power.
Yeah, this lecture really gets to the heart of who Jesus is, and
it's going to be mind-blowing, guys. Seriously.
Well, one thing I found super interesting right off the bat was how Dr. Mathewson points out this common misconception.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, you know how a lot of people think Jesus claimed to be the Messiah in front of Pilate, right? Like when he was on trial.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, he actually sets the record straight and points out that it happened way before that, before the high priest Caiaphas, during like a Jewish trial.
I've never thought about it that way. So it was like a clash with Jewish authorities first.
Exactly. And then all that tension builds to his eventual trial before Pilate, just adds a whole new layer to understanding, like, the whole context of Jesus's claims.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then what's even more fascinating is how Dr. Mathewson digs into those incredibly powerful passages in Colossians and Philippians where Jesus is described in this super exalted way.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading those and thinking, whoa, like this is heavy stuff.
Yeah, that's like reading poetry almost.
But to be honest, I don't always get all the theological terms.
Right. They can be a little dense.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's unpack them.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So in Colossians 1:1-5:20, it calls Jesus the image of the invisible God, and also the firstborn of all creation. But now, don't let that word firstborn trip you up.
Okay, yeah. I was going to ask about that one.
It doesn't mean that Jesus was created by God. Think of it more like he's the ultimate heir, holding a supreme position over everything in creation.
So it's like he's the blueprint for the whole universe.
Exactly.
Wow.
And not just a blueprint, but actively involved in like holding everything together. And then you go to Philippians 2:6-11, and it says something even more mind-blowing.
Okay, get me.
It says that Jesus was being in the very nature of God.
Whoa. Okay, that's a big one. So what does that actually mean? And I guess how would early Christians have understood that?
Well, it means that Jesus wasn't just some like super powerful human being or a prophet. He actually shared in God's divine essence. Like he was God. The early church totally understood this to mean that Jesus was God, but he chose to humble himself and take on human form.
So he didn't lose his divine nature, but he sort of like veiled it to become one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Starting to get it.
And the passage goes on to say that God then exalted Jesus and gave him the name above all names, which is Lord.
Lord. Okay.
And that term Lord is super important because it was often used for God himself in the Old Testament. You see this connection all over the place.
You know what? That reminds me of something that Dr. Mathewson said about Paul, like how he constantly quotes the Old Testament when he talks about Jesus.
Oh, totally. He does that a lot.
Yeah.
For example, in Romans 10:13, Paul writes, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, this is a direct quote from Joel 2:3-2. But in that passage, it's talking about God.
Oh, I see. So Paul's saying what was true about God is now also true about Jesus.
Right. It's as if he's deliberately trying to connect Jesus to the power and authority of God in the Old Testament. And it's not just through names and titles either. Paul also uses that imagery of the suffering servant from Isaiah 52 and 53 to describe Jesus.
Right. Dr. Mathewson mentioned that too. It's like Jesus fulfilling this Old Testament idea of like selflessly suffering for others.
Exactly.
But wait, I think he also mentioned something about the Davidic covenant, right? Like, what's that all about?
Oh, yeah, he did. So the Davidic covenant is basically this promise that God made to King David, that his descendants would rule over Israel forever. And it's this huge theme that runs throughout the Old Testament. And what Dr. Mathewson is saying is that Jesus, as a Messiah, inherits all of those promises made to David. It's another way of connecting Jesus to God's plan for the whole world.
Okay, I get it. So we've talked a lot about Paul and his letters, but what about the other parts of the New Testament? I'm curious how they portray Jesus.
Right.
Dr. Mathewson spent a lot of time talking about Hebrews, which I'll admit I always find a little bit tough to understand.
It can be a dense book. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so worth it to dig into because Hebrews presents Jesus as like the ultimate revelation of God.
Yeah.
Even superior to angels.
Mm-hmm.
And the author does this by comparing Jesus to all these key figures from the Old Testament, Moses, Joshua, the priests, even the whole sacrificial system.
So it's like Jesus is the final chapter of all that came before.
Exactly.
Wow.
He's the culmination, like the fulfillment of all those earlier stories and promises.
Right.
But it's not just Hebrews. Even James, which is usually seen as this very practical book, links Jesus to God's glory. Yeah. I always thought of James as more about like how we live out our faith, not these big theological ideas.
Oh.
It definitely is about that. But even in the midst of all the practical advice, James shows Jesus fulfilling this role that is usually reserved for God in the Old Testament.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. It's the role of eschatological judge.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Eschatological judge. What does that even mean?
Basically, it means that in the end times, it's Jesus who's going to come back and judge the world, a role that was traditionally associated with God.
Whoa, okay. That's intense. So we're seeing Jesus in this really powerful light. It's like everything God was supposed to do, Jesus now does.
Right.
And speaking of intense portrayals of Jesus, we can't forget about Revelation. I remember Dr. Mathewson calling it a gold mine for understanding who Jesus is.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. Revelation is full of these crazy visions, you know, that reveal Jesus in all of his glory and power.
Okay, I'm ready for this.
All right. So right from the start, in Revelation 1:12-18, John describes this vision of Jesus where he's like radiating God's glory. He's holding the keys to death and Hades.
Oh, wow. Like he has power over the afterlife.
Exactly. Right. And what's really interesting is how John uses imagery from the book of Daniel. He describes Jesus as the Son of Man, but then he also gives him characteristics of the Ancient of Days.
Wait, who's the Ancient of Days again? It's been a while since I read Daniel.
Oh, yeah. That's like a figure who represents God's eternal power and authority.
Okay.
So it seems like John is suggesting that in Jesus, we see humanity and divinity combined.
Oh, wow. So like those two seemingly separate aspects of God are united in Jesus. That's huge.
It is. And then if you go to chapters 4 and 5, it gets even wilder. Chapter 4 sets the stage, right? You got God sitting on this throne, surrounded by all these worshipers. But then in chapter 5, the Lamb, who represents Jesus, takes a scroll right from God's hand.
Wait, a scroll? What's so special about a scroll?
Well, in this vision, the scroll represents ultimate authority. So for Jesus to take it from God's hand is a pretty bold statement.
Right. It almost makes it sound like he's equal to God. But didn't John warn against worshiping anyone other than God in Revelation?
You're right, he did. That's what makes this so interesting. Because here in chapter 5, both God and the Lamb receive the same worship. So like John's pushing us to expand how we think about God, to see that Jesus is included in that divine identity and is therefore worthy of the same worship.
So it's not about replacing God, but about understanding God in like a bigger, more expansive way.
Exactly. And to make this connection even stronger, John uses specific titles for both God and Jesus, Alpha and Omega, first and last. And these titles come straight out of Isaiah and are all about God's ultimate power and existence beyond time.
Oh, wow. This is a lot to unpack. It's making me rethink, like, everything I thought I knew about Jesus. And you know what? I think we need a moment to just let all of this sink in before we go on.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot to take in.
When we come back, we'll delve deeper into what all of this means for us, for how we live our lives, and how we see the world. Stay tuned. All right, we're back. And I don't know about you, but those images in Revelation are still swirling around in my head. It's like John was really trying to shake things up, you know, to show us how amazing Jesus is. But it's not all about these big cosmic concepts, is it? I mean, Dr. Mathewson also made it clear that this understanding of Jesus should change how we live.
Oh, absolutely. He was very clear about that. If we really believe that Jesus embodies God's power and purpose, like we see in the New Testament, then it should change everything. Our relationships, our work, even how we see the world. Everything.
So it's not just about believing certain facts about Jesus, but actually letting those beliefs transform us, like from the inside out.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Remember how Philippians 2 talks about Jesus emptying himself and taking the form of a servant? It's such a powerful example of humility, putting others first. It's something we're called to follow.
It's like that saying, the first shall be last.
Yeah.
Right. It really challenges how we normally think about power and success.
Yeah. And it goes even deeper than that. I mean, if Jesus, who is God, was willing to humble himself to the point of death on a cross, it makes us ask ourselves, what are we willing to sacrifice for others? How can we live out that same spirit of servanthood in our own lives?
That's a pretty high standard, and it makes me realize how easily I get caught up in my own goals and wants and completely forget about the needs of people around me.
It's a constant challenge, sure. But that's why it's so important to remember that we're not alone in this. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living in us.
There's that power again. It's like a constant theme in everything we've been talking about. And what I hear Dr. Mathewson saying is that this isn't just some feel-good story. The same force that created the universe that conquered death is available to us, like in our everyday lives.
Yeah. And it's that power that allows us to live out that radical love and compassion that Jesus demonstrated.
Yeah.
You know, it's about breaking down barriers, fighting against injustice, even offering forgiveness to people who don't deserve it.
Man, this is making me think about all the times I've held on to anger and bitterness, unwilling to let go of past hurts. It's like I've been holding myself back from really experiencing God's power by doing that.
Forgiveness is tough. There's no question.
Yeah.
But it's so crucial. If we want to really reflect the character of Jesus, who offered forgiveness even to those who were crucifying him.
Wow. Yeah, okay. That's a powerful example. Puts things in perspective. But how do we actually apply this in a practical way? I mean, it's one thing to have these big ideas about Jesus, power, love, all that stuff. But actually living them out day to day, that's a whole other story.
That's a really good question. And it's not about following some kind of magic formula or a set of rules. It really starts with having a real personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And allowing his spirit to work in us and through us.
So it's more about a way of being rather than what we do.
Exactly. It's about aligning our hearts and minds with his, asking for his guidance. You know, in every decision we make, it's about becoming more and more like him, letting his love flow through us and touch the people around us.
This makes me think about that passage in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love is patient, love is kind. It's like a practical guide for how to live out this love, you know, in everyday life.
Yeah, you got it. And it's not always easy. It means choosing to love even when it's hard, even when we don't feel like it. It's about putting aside our own selfish desires and really looking out for the good of others.
It's a radical way to live, for sure. But there's also this incredible sense of freedom that comes with it, isn't there? Like, we're no longer trapped by our own limitations and fears, all of that.
Absolutely. When we surrender to God's power, you know, working in us, we step into a life of purpose, a life of meaning, a life that's so much bigger than anything we could achieve on our own. We literally become instruments of his love and grace in a world that desperately needs it.
It's almost like we become channels for something so much bigger than ourselves, you know, like tapping into this endless source of love and energy.
You said it perfectly. That's what makes this message so powerful. It's not about following rules or trying to earn God's favor. It's about partnering with him, letting him work through us to bring his kingdom here. Mm-hmm. On earth.
Yeah, it's starting to feel less like a burden and more like an adventure.
That's exactly it. It's the beauty of it. When we understand who Jesus is, what he's done for us, it changes everything. It sets us free to live lives full of joy and purpose and radical love, knowing that we're a part of something far greater than ourselves.
It's like we're invited to join this huge cosmic story, you know?
Yeah.
The story of redemption and renewal, to play our own unique part in bringing God's love and light to the world.
And that's what makes this deep dive into Dr. Mathewson's lecture so powerful. It's not just about gaining knowledge. It's about experiencing a transformation that touches every part of who we are. It's about encountering the living God through Jesus Christ and letting that encounter shape how we live and who we are.
It makes me think about all the different ways people see Jesus as a teacher, a prophet, a revolutionary, even just a historical figure. But for those who really encounter him, like the New Testament shows us, it's so much more than that.
It really is. It's about encountering the divine in human form. It's about experiencing the power of God's love in a way that's personal and life-changing. It's a journey of discovery that never ends, constantly revealing new depths of meaning and purpose.
Like peeling back the layers of an onion, you uncover more and more beauty and complexity with each layer. But in this case, it's an infinitely layered onion with no end in sight.
Ah, I love that analogy. And it's in that ongoing exploration, that constant pursuit of understanding Jesus more deeply, that we really come alive. We discover who we were meant to be, not just as individuals, but as part of this incredible story that God's writing throughout history.
And it's a story that's still being written, right? We're not just passive observers. We're active participants in this whole drama, this drama of redemption and renewal.
Absolutely. And that's a pretty empowering thought, isn't it? To realize that our lives, even in the midst of our normal everyday routines, can be part of something so grand, so meaningful. It's about bringing heaven to earth, one act of love, one moment of grace at a time.
Man, this is getting me fired up. I'm ready to go out and change the world. But seriously, it's making me rethink my priorities, what really matters, you know?
And that's the beautiful thing. When we encounter Jesus, It changes our values. It shifts our perspective. It aligns us with God's heart. It's about letting go of the things that hold us back and embracing a life of purpose, a life of joy, a life of love, all flowing from our connection with Him.
Yeah, it's a powerful message, no doubt. It's making me realize how much more there is to discover, how much deeper this rabbit hole goes. And I got to say, I'm excited to keep digging.
And that's the exciting part of this whole journey, right? It's a lifelong adventure of discovering just how rich and deep and wonderful Christ is. It's about allowing His love to transform us into the people we were created to be.
It feels like we've only scratched the surface of this whole tapestry of truth and beauty. And on that note, I think we need another break to process all of this goodness. When we come back, we'll wrap up this deep dive with some final thoughts on how we can actually live out this message in a world that, let's be honest, doesn't always feel very loving. Stay with us.
All right, we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into Dr. Mathewson's lecture on Jesus in the New Testament. Wow, what a journey it's been. We've covered so much ground, from Jesus' divine nature to His role as judge and how those big theological ideas actually impact our everyday lives. As we've been talking, what's really stuck out to you as the most significant takeaway? You know, for me, it's the realization that the New Testament writers, they really wrestled with how to express just how magnificent and powerful Jesus is. Like, they used everything they had, poetry, visions, those complex theological arguments, to try and capture the sheer wonder of who He is.
Yeah, it's like they were saying, words aren't enough, you know, but we're going to do our best to give you a glimpse of this glory that is Jesus Christ. And honestly, I think they did a pretty good job. I'm looking at those familiar Bible stories in a whole new light now.
That's what's so cool about it, right? It's not about reducing Jesus to just a set of doctrines or moral principles. It's about encountering Him as this living reality, reality that challenges and transforms us at the core of who we are.
Yeah, you know, I used to think of my faith as something separate from the rest of my life, but Dr. Mathewson helped me see how wrong that is. I mean, who Jesus is, it has implications for everything. How I live, how I think, how I interact with the world around me.
It's about integrating our faith into every single aspect of who we are. It should inform our decisions, our relationships, our passions, our work, literally every single thing. It's about seeing the world through the lens of God's love as revealed in Jesus Christ.
That's a radical shift in perspective, for sure. It's not just about going to church or saying my prayers before bed. It's about, like, embodying the spirit of Christ in everything I do, becoming an agent of love, compassion, and justice. And man, the world really needs those things right now.
It really does. It's about being the hands and feet of Jesus, extending His grace and mercy to those who are hurting, marginalized, forgotten. It's about being that light in the darkness, offering hope when everything seems so messed up.
Honestly, that sounds like a pretty daunting task. But we're not doing it alone, are we? I mean, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to empower us, to fill us with the very love of Christ.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's the key. It's not about relying on our own strength or willpower. It's about surrendering to the power of God. That power working within us, allowing His love to flow through us. That's what really transforms us from the inside out and allows that love to touch the lives of those around us.
Yeah, it's like we become these conduits, right? Conduits for something so much bigger than ourselves, tapping into this unlimited source of love and energy. And it becomes less about striving or performing and more about resting in what Christ has already done for us, letting His grace cover us, empower us to live lives full of purpose and meaning.
And that's the message that our world desperately needs to hear, don't you think? I mean, we live in a culture that's all about individualism, achievement, self-promotion. And the gospel, it offers a radically different way of being, one that's marked by humility, service, and love that extends even to our enemies.
Talk about countercultural. But you're right, it's a message that has the power to change hearts, to transform lives, to bring real healing and hope to a world that seems so broken. And it all starts with us, like each of us encountering Jesus personally, opening ourselves to His love and letting His Spirit do its work in us. And then we embrace that radical call to follow Him wherever He leads.
It's a journey of faith, surrender, and transformation.
And after this deep dive, I'm so ready to keep exploring what that journey looks like. It feels like we've just scratched the surface of what it means to follow Jesus, especially in a world that so desperately needs His light.
Well, as you continue on this journey, I want to leave you with a final thought-provoking question. If Jesus truly is who the New Testament says He is, the embodiment of God's power and love, how might that change your everyday life? How might it shift your priorities, your relationships, even your understanding of what it means to be human?
That's a great question, and one I'll be thinking about for a long time to come.
May your journey be filled with wonder, discovery, and the transforming power of God's grace.
And thank you all for joining us on this incredible deep dive. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep letting the love of Christ shape your lives.